This is the Travel Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Propelic, bringing you the news and insights and what's working and not working in today's competitive transportation and tourism landscape. From emerging brands to the most established professionals, these lessons of intelligent marketing will help your marketing plan travel further.
I'm really excited to dive in. The tourism campaigns are something that I find to be incredibly exciting and impressive, especially getting back from ITB, being around all of those countries. Now, I did some research and the Inspired by Iceland campaign that we're talking about today that I'm excited to dive into. And thank you again, by the way, for joining me. I looked back and I was just looking at some performance reports and I saw that there was actually an Inspired by Iceland campaign in 2010 after the volcanic eruption that helped influence visitor sentiment with a much smaller budget than your current campaign, which appeared to have been COVID exit plan. So out of curiosity, before we dive in, why is the name the same for the campaign in 2020 and 2010?
Well, the initial campaign in 2010, that was supposed to be a three-month campaign to begin with. And that was the first time that companies and the official parties, like the government of Iceland, for example, came together to fund a project like this. And everybody was so happy with the results of the initial campaign that they decided to keep on funding it. So the campaign per se sort of transitioned into more of a brand. So the Inspired by Iceland came sort of the brand for Visit Iceland or the tourism sector. And we just kept on and have sort of kept to that name ever since, sort of a, more like a brand identity rather than a campaign per se.
And you've been involved for most, if not all, that time, right?
Since 2011.
Yeah, so you joined when that was starting. Wow. I'm excited to dig in. This is a unique episode for us because typically we interview private companies.
Okay.
This is obviously a more public initiative, government funding. I think it's Business Iceland is the name of the overseeing body that you're involved with.
Yep.
So let's just enter 2020. So this is kind of what we consider an evergreen campaign. And then there's a pandemic, right? Tourism drops off the map for everybody. What was the planning process? How did it come about in 2020 that we're going to make this investment again? And how do you decide on the messages and the mediums that you use to get the word out?
Okay, so the campaign had been running more or less consecutively from the year 2011 as a campaign every year until 2019 or 2020. That's at the time we had more or less the funding for the project that we had been working on or funding for the project that we had been working under, which we called, doesn't really matter, I guess it's in Icelandic anyway. But so the funding for the original project had sort of run its course, and we were in dialogue with the government on whether we should continue funding tourism marketing or not. That's when COVID hit, and it became very apparent that, you know, it was going to affect tourism tremendously. Our initial thought process was this is going to take maybe, you know, this would be a disruption for tourism for the next 3 months, probably. So we assumed that 3 months, we would face drastic reduction in tourism numbers for 3 months and then hopefully return to normal. So we wanted to sort of address that situation in the sort of spring of 2020, and the government decided to fund the campaign to save the summer of 2020. Obviously, things turned out a bit different.
Just a little bit.
It turned into more like 3 years rather than 3 months. This sort of goes to show how much we knew going into this.
It's fascinating. I mean, everything from the visual identity to the concept of it, clearly there was a lot of work put into it and you've been involved this entire time. What are some of like the key messages that you communicate through the campaign?
Like I said, when we first started in the spring of 2020 and we wanted to hit on a note that would sort of show some empathy. And because, you know, at the time, everybody was really, really frustrated. We had been cooped up at home without being able to meet people or go out for a drink with friends or anything. So for 3 months, everybody was just more or less locked at home. And we wanted to do something different than just say, oh, we are going to be here. You join us when all of this is over. You know, we wanted to send some sort of a message that showed that we were in the same position and show some sort of an understanding of what people were going through. So the initial campaign that we came up with, or the initial activation came up with our partners, was the Looks Like You Need to Let It Out campaign, which we have formally called the Screaming Campaign. And sort of the idea behind that campaign was that we would set up loudspeakers around the country and created an app would allow you to record your screams of frustration to be let out in Icelandic nature. Iceland has like vast open spaces and, you know, there's room and a lot of room to let out your primal screams, so to speak. So we just wanted to give people an opportunity to really let out their frustrations, mental frustrations through screaming in Icelandic nature. Sort of a primal.
So out of curiosity, what did the adoption of this look like?
Adoption in what terms?
Was this a very heavily used feature?
Yeah. The initial campaign was a great success. I think we recorded over 20,000 screams during the 2 months that we were running it. And also, you know, people were screaming all sorts of frustrations, like you can imagine. But we would allow people to scream and sort of let it out.
Got it.
And I think that initial activation sort of sets the tone for the rest of the campaign. So when we sort of saw how much that tone of empathy or participation, how much that resonated with people, then that was sort of the tone that we wanted to keep moving forward. The activations since then have always sort of been built around an idea of us being a solution of some sort.
As a destination, right. One of the things that's just chronically difficult to track is the effectiveness of a tourism marketing campaign at a national scale, right? Because what we're trying to drive is economic prosperity through people staying at hotels, and the way that we get paid is generally through something like an occupancy tax or whatever it may be. So just like getting extremely high level and understanding, I'm just looking at the facts and seeing you had budget through middle of 2023, and then it got extended to the end of 2023 based on what I'm reading here, which means you had success. There was success. So I'm curious, what KPIs and what performance indicators did you set on the outset that you wanted to achieve that you saw yourself hit or miss?
So this was a very unique situation for us because, as you said, it's very difficult to track these campaigns. But for the first time since, well, I think I can almost say for the first time in recorded history, we're in the unique position that we were the only entity of any source that was speaking to the market. At any given time, you will have Iceland Air, Play Airlines, Blue Lagoon, a lot of stakeholders in the Icelandic tourist market. They are marketing as well.
Mm-hmm.
This was the only time that we had 100% share of voice for Brand Iceland.
Interesting.
Once you had lockdown or this closing and people stopped traveling, then everybody more or less held back for the first 2 months.
Sure.
And we were the only entity that was really marketing. So for the first time, we could track what was happening related to our campaigns. So we could get feedback from companies, how much increase there was in website visits, searches, and so on. And we were the only entity that was doing any marketing. So we could trace that back to the campaign for the very first time. We could sort of isolate our activities from everybody else's. And that's
It's interesting. I would imagine if you look at something like Google Trends over the past 5 years and track performance, you can see the growth. Yeah, through. Interesting. I've never heard that insight before, because generally there are a lot of commercial investments in destinations, right? If you have Disney World here in Orlando, Florida, it's not just Orlando, Florida that's advertising Disney World. It's Disney World that's advertising Orlando, Florida, right?
And a lot of resellers probably as well.
Yeah, for sure. And then, I mean, but you find yourself in a vacuum there where really you get to measure your impact. What do you have? I mean, I know there's awards, I know there's 1100 media features, but is there anything that you can point to from an economic standpoint? Is there economic impact study that's been done or something that you can look at and say, we did this?
If you give me a moment to expand on this a little further, I think we'll get there, but answer is yes and no. So what we saw there for the first campaign, for the Let It Out campaign, when we were sort of in a vacuum, speaking into the void or screaming into the void, if you will, there was no one else was doing anything, and we could sort of see through our partner's website what was happening. And I think we saw, for example, that Iceland Air was seeing 15% increase in searches during this time. I'm not going to promise you that it's a correct number, but it's around about there. As we started moving on, we kept marketing, and we were doing marketing throughout the whole COVID era. And the most destinations sort of reduced their marketing during COVID. What we saw, however, that, you know, obviously we're a tiny destination, so this gave us, a very good opportunity to sort of increase our share of voice in the destination marketing field. But it also, we were continuously talking to people and reminding them that they wanted to come to Iceland once they were able to travel again. So what we saw is that Iceland rose from, well, not being present in something like the YouGov Destination Index and not measuring in the top 10, moving into the fifth most desirable destination in the US, and I think seventh in the UK. You also saw that there was a lot of built-up demand for Iceland once people could travel again. And yeah. Iceland was the fastest, rebounded the fastest bigger destinations, especially in Western Europe. You could see that Iceland was, in 2023, Iceland was up to 95%, I think, of the 2019 tourism numbers. And was the
in 2023, wow.
Yeah.
That is much faster.
We rebounded much faster than the destinations that we compare ourselves to. We've seen a much faster return numbers. And I think 2022 was very close to being comparable to 2019 numbers. In 2023, we actually surpassed the 2019 numbers.
Got it. And when you look at budget allocation, getting a little bit further into the weeds and where you see effective marketing investment, I guess, walk me through the channels that you used. Obviously, social media, for instance, and search. So where did you put your time, energy, and money for this campaign? One thing I do want to say is outstanding is the visual representation, all of the user experience, the visual interface, everything that you've built around the campaign digitally is gorgeous. But when you look at channel investment, whether it be SEO, SEM, social media, influencers, how was that?
Yeah, most of the spending is, as a tiny destination, we are very well aware of that we can't really compete in media buy.
Mm-hmm.
Our budgets are a fraction of what most of the destinations that we're competing with have to play with. And we can't be outbidding Norway, for example, in SEM, for example. Our strategy is much more based on creating value through PR. What we try to invest in is ideas. Come up with an idea that is going to have a breakthrough effect in media and people are going to cover it. That's how we try to extend the krona, if you will, by recruiting others to share the story for us. So we try to come up with an idea that is going to be something that is going to be talked about. We try to create something that's talk worthy and has a built-in shareability and a built-in sort of create an interest for the media. That's why we do campaigns, something like the Icelandverse, which was a play on the metaverse, Autos Your Email, a campaign where you get horses to write out-of-office replies for you and so on. So we do stuff that's going to be a little strange and going to get people to talk about the campaign, share it, and the media to cover it, because we can't be competing. We can compete in the field of ideas, but we can't compete in the field of media buy.
Well, it really sounds like the more provocative ideas, the things that are more unique, are the things that worked well for you. And I can imagine that led very distinctly to the PR mentions and visibility, because that's what gets PR, is the unique, the different, right? Someone spending $10 million on paid media is not going to get a PR feature. That's just somebody using brute force to get into the auction. So talking about PR, what was your PR strategy? Did you pitch publications? Did you kind of announce something and got traction naturally? How did you go about that?
It's a little different based on a little different from one campaign to the next. Some of these we worked with, you know, PR partners that have sort of helped us with the selling of the story to begin with. Some of them sort of take off naturally. Something like the Icelandverse campaign that sort of just took off, didn't really need much of a push, while others, sometimes you need to sort of introduce the idea beforehand. But yeah, it's a little different from one campaign to the next.
Was there anything, so the PR channel clearly worked quite well for y'all. Were there any channels or any strategies that you attempted that really missed the mark and you just flat out failed?
I wouldn't say that there were channels that didn't work. There were ideas that didn't work as well as other ideas. We did one campaign which didn't really have the built-in PR ability or talkworthiness of some of the other campaigns. And we knew that going into it, but sort of hoped that it would gain some social traction, but it never really did. Yeah, I think it's more ideas that didn't work rather than channels that didn't work.
Interesting. Yeah, because you clearly went into this with a philosophy around channels. You went into this and said, let's go on the PR angle because we can't compete in search engines. We can't compete with paid media buying necessarily on socials. When you look back at the campaign as a whole, probably, you know, 1,000 people subscribed to this, somewhere in there. I'm not quite sure. I don't remember exactly what the listener statistics were. When you look back, though, and think about what worked and what didn't, What advice would you give to a destination marketer to create an impactful campaign with a limited budget?
Yeah, I think for us, what we had, I think one of the key ingredients for us that we had a lot of trust with our creative partners. So we were working with an agency here in Iceland called Peel and another agency in New York called SS&K. And from the first meeting, we just had a really good vibe, I guess. We had a lot of trust in each other and they trusted us to really give them feedback on ideas. And we trusted them to come up with ideas that would be a little out there. And I think just having the courage to do something different.
Yeah.
A lot of the time people will talk to us about how, why we are doing or how we get an idea for a DMO. There's often a lot of governmental oversight or political influences that people sometimes ask us, just how do we get an idea, a strange idea through the whole agreement process. And I think that's one of the key reasons that we've done so many campaigns in the past that have worked out for us or worked well. People sort of trust us to the stakeholders and the infrastructure, if you will. We have the trust of the people in the industry to make decisions. But and also it's a, you know, it's a fairly small community. Everybody knows each other more or less. So it's the process of getting stuff through isn't all that difficult. But I think if I were to give somebody advice, I would say just have the courage to do something different. A lot of times people are, you know, trying to out-prettify every other destination.
Yeah.
That doesn't always work. I mean, there's a lot of competition for those kind of ads. But
I think you can buy media anywhere and everywhere. It's what the offer. You can't just put a picture of a mountain in and say, come here. You have to have something, right? If you were to start from scratch, is there anything you would have done differently? You know, looking back 10, 12, 13 years now from when you started?
Yeah.
That was a very easy question.
A lot of things you should do differently once you really start thinking about it. I think we've been very lucky in that we've been able to sort of reflect authenticity, I think. We like to do things a little different, like I said, but that sort of Icelandic way of approaching things as well, doing things a little differently. So I think we've been lucky enough to sort of project an authentic image of Iceland, even if it's a little different from many other campaigns, a little quirky perhaps. So I think it took us a while to get there and really lean into it. But I think that's what's worked out the best for us. And like I talked a little bit about how we wanted to build campaigns around empathy during COVID. Just that human element has really worked for us very well. So I think leaning more into that, leaning into it earlier, that would probably have been a wise decision.
Mm-hmm.
But in general.
And any other pieces, we learned that COVID lasted longer than 3 months. Right.
we have an Icelandic saying, it's easy to be wise after the fact.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it very much. This was a unique and fun learning opportunity, I think, for our listeners. I'm curious, one of the questions I like to ask everybody that we interview on this podcast every other week is, where are you traveling next yourself?
Where am I traveling? I'm actually going to Oslo tomorrow.
Ah.
But that's on business. But I guess I would really like to travel in Iceland this summer.
I'm currently planning an Iceland trip, actually, for July this year.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm excited to check it out for the first time. I got somewhat near there by accident, not actually, but I did go up into the Nordic countries by accident 3 days ago when I set my alarm for 4:20 p.m. instead of 4:20 a.m., missed my flight to London from Berlin from ITB, had to fly to Copenhagen and then to Berlin. I mean, Copenhagen, then to London, and then to Dallas, and then to Austin, rather than direct to Austin, which was a nightmare. But I got a little bit closer to Iceland, and I'm very excited to see it in the summer.
Are you in Austin?
I am in Austin.
Okay. So we have a team out there now for South by Southwest.
Wonderful. Oh, look at that. Maybe we'll take it offline for a second and chat about that. Thank you so much for coming on with me today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
For more empowering ideas, visit propelic.com. We're on a mission to create more diversity in thought for the planet and dedicated to helping brands, both large and small, increase their reach through intelligent travel, transportation, and tourism marketing. PROPELLIC.com.